Okay, so now, like, the first question that people ask, you know, in religion is God. How do we have any faith, any belief, any knowledge, any kind of connection that there's a God? Okay? And really, the answer comes in this week's Parsha. The first verse of the Parsha is in this Makor Rishon. It says, Vayomer Hashem el Abraham, lech lecha me'aretzecha u'miladetecha u'mibet avicha el ha'aretz asher areka. God comes to Abraham and says, leave this country and go where I'm going to tell you to go. So now, the question is, why? Why did God now come to Abraham? Right? If we read in the previous verses, we just have a little genealogy about him. We don't learn anything about why God would choose to make a connection with Abraham. So the Midrash fills in. Famous Midrash, Reshit Rabbah, it says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mashal le'echad shehaya over mimakom lemakom, v'ra'a bira achat doleket. So there's a metaphor that Rabbi Yitzchak brings about a guy who was going from place to place, and he saw a bira. The bira here is not a capital, but it's translated as a palace. So he saw this palace on fire. And he said, V'tomar, Tomar shahabira zu below manhi. Could it be that this palace has no governor, has no owner of the palace? Heitzitz alav bal habira. And so the governor of this palace looked out at him and said, Amar lo ani hu bal habira. And he said, I am the governor of this palace. Kach lefi shahaya avinu Avraham omer. Tomar shaha'olam hazeh belo manhig. So too was Avram Avinu, who said, could it be that this world has no leader? Heitzitz alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God peeped out at him. Va'amar lo ani hu bal ha'olam. I am the master of the universe. Va'yomar Hashem el Avram lech lecha me'artzecha. And so that's when he came and said, go from this place. I'm choosing you to do something special. So why is he choosing Avraham? Because Avraham recognized him. Okay? Avraham was the first person in his generation to come and say, there's got to be a creator. Now, how did Avraham actually come to this realization? Basically, through recognizing that there's a creator, right? If you see a building, so there must have been somebody who made this building. So you see the world, there must be somebody who made this world. What this is called is the teleological argument. It's the argument from design. You see a design, there must have been a designer. Okay? Now, what exactly is the design in the world that Avraham saw? So there's a Zohar which explains exactly what design Avraham saw. I'm going to quote the Al-Sheikh who basically paraphrases the Zohar because it's in more clear Hebrew. The Zohar is in Aramaic and in more lengthy. So the Al-Sheikh says, Avraham Avinu lo hikir et boro ki im al yedei habito b'shemesh uvayareach. So it says that Avraham did not recognize God other than through seeing the sun and the moon. Basically, the solar system, the constellations. So the Zohar explains as follows: Shirishona chashav ki hashemesh hu Eloha. In the beginning, Avraham observed the sun, and he said, "This must be God. This must be the power of the world." And the Zohar goes on to say that he worshipped the sun all day. Kishera'a ki hashemesh ba'a va'alta haya. So, but then when Avraham observed that the sun went down and it became dark. And then the moon came out. Amar gam ki ein hashemesh Eloha ki halo ba hashemesh v'yatsa v'yareach bimkomo. So now Avraham said, well, the sun left and now the moon came. Maybe the moon is really this power. And the Zohar says that he worshipped the moon the whole night. V'kein lo ze v'lo v'ze ki hare yesh gam kochavim mishamshim li'itutam. So then Avraham said, but wait, there's all these stars. And so maybe they have some kind of power. So after all this, Avraham came to the conclusion, Vadai ki gavoa me'al gavoa yotzram u'mesadram be'mishmorotam. And so Avraham realized, he said, there must be something beyond all of this that put all of this celestial system into place, and that's how he came to recognize God. So basically, again, it's the argument from design. What is the design? It's the design of the solar system. Okay, now this should come as no surprise to us, because Professor Kugel has written in his book, The Bible as It Is, as It Was, rather, and he's, for those of you who don't know, he's a professor of at Harvard of Bible and Hebrew Literature, and he writes as follows. In the ancient world, Chaldea, or as we know it as Ur-Kasdim, was famous for one thing in particular. It was the home of astronomy and astrology. So great was the association between Chaldea, Ur-Kasdim, and the study of stars that the very word Chaldean, Kasdii, came to mean astronomer in both Aramaic and Greek. Many interpreters therefore naturally assumed that Abraham, the Chaldean, must have himself been something of an astronomer. So what he's saying here is that it's well known that the cradle of astronomy was in Babel, okay? And so, and Abraham lived at that time, and so it's assumed that he was also an astronomer. Now, whether he was an astronomer or not an astronomer is not really of our interest, because what I always tell people when we're learning Midrash, and we are learning Midrash, right? The Midrash is coming and trying to fill in the gap of why God came to Abraham. Well, the Midrash is interested first and foremost in philosophy. It's trying to teach us something about the world, about life, about morality. It's less interested in history. Now, it could be that philosophy and history coincide, and indeed, Abraham was an astronomer, no issue. But that's not the main point. And if you get focused on that, was he an astronomer, was he not an astronomer, are they making this up, you've missed the whole point of the Midrash. The Midrash is trying to teach us something. Yeah?
Why does it matter that God chose Abraham? God chose a person.
Okay, so, he chose a person, and we happen to call him Abraham. What's important here is that God chose somebody. And now we're trying to find out why did, at this juncture in history, God come and choose somebody. So what we're saying is, according to the Midrash,
Midrash doesn't end
there. The Midrash goes on, but this Midrash does end here. This Midrash is trying to explain, why did God come to Abraham and say, Lech Lecha? And it says, because he recognized him. And it ends, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lech Lecha me'artzecha. Right? The whole point of this little piece of Midrash is to explain, why did God come to this man at this time?
I thought it wasn't that Hashem came to Abraham. Abraham came to Hashem first.
Right, okay, so exactly, that's the Midrash. So that's exactly, so the Torah itself says that God came and chose Abraham. So the Midrash comes and says, why would he do such a thing? So he did it because Abraham himself came and basically made himself somebody who is special, who is recognizing God. So then God said, oh, you're taking note of me, so I will take note of you. Yeah.
There was no one that did that.
So we're going to get to that, actually. The Rambam brings a whole history of how we get to Avraham. Okay, so we'll do that in 1 second. Okay,
so now... met halfway? Meaning like God came to Avraham?
Yes, according to the Midrash, God did not just come out of the blue to Avraham. Rather, Avraham found and surmised, according to his own reasoning and his own observations, that there must be a creator. And so God said, this is my man. Okay, he didn't just come to anybody and say, okay, I need you. Okay, so now we're ready really to go to the Rambam. So this all fits in very nicely with the Rambam's history of Avodah Zarah. How was it that Abraham came to this place? How was it that this place came to be known as the worshippers of stars, right? I mean, we said historically, the cradle of astronomy was in Babel, but it wasn't just astronomy for science's sake, it was astronomy for religion's sake. And so now the Rambam explains exactly how the world got to this place, and maybe that will also answer your question about why Avraham at this place and now. So it says, as first of all, Halacha Aleph, Bimei Enosh. Okay, Enosh was the son of Shet, right? The grandson of Adam and Chava. According to Seder Olam, he was born in 235. 235 years after the creation of the world is what we're talking about. So we're talking about very early on in humanity. Bimei Enosh, Ta'u B'nei Ha'adam, Ta'ut Gadol. So now, humanity made a big mistake. Amru, Hoyul V'Elohim Bara Kochavim Elu V'Galgalim V'Lehanhig Et Ha'olam V'Natnam B'Marom V'Chalak Lahem Kavod V'Hem Shmashim HaMishamshim Lefanav Ro'in Hem L'Shabcham V'Lefaram V'Lechlok Lahem Kavod V'Zeu Ratzon Ha'El Baruch Hu. Okay, so what he says now is, what was this mistake? These people believed in God. They understood that there's a creator of the universe, and they also understood that the creator of the universe made the stars and the planets and everything we see. And they decided, they said, these things have such an important place in our creation that we should also worship, not worship them, but praise them. Place them in a high pedestal and sort of, we praise, oh, how great it is that the sun came out. I mean, we have Tehillim like that, right? That the sun comes out every day, but we praising God that he put all of these things in place and makes our world a livable place. So now these people at that time said, let's make praises and do all kinds of worship to these celestial bodies as part of God's creation. Okay? So now, it's not a terrible thing, but it is a terrible thing. It's a ta'ut gadol. It's a major mistake, okay? But it's what we would call an innocent mistake, right? They had good intentions, but it comes out really bad because now you're basically starting up a system, okay? Just a second. So now in Halacha Bet, we see that where this slippery slope leads to, okay? What happens is that now that they set up this system where they're praising celestial bodies, all of a sudden, that leads to worshiping those celestial bodies. And so that's what the Rambam explains in Halacha Bet. V'achar she'archu hayamim amdu b'vnei adam nevi'ei sheker v'amru ha'el tziva v'amar lahem avdu kochav ploni o kol ha'kochavim. So now, these false prophets came and said, you know, God has told us that we need to worship this star, or we need to worship all the stars. And they started making up things, and they started making up, you know, we have to sacrifice them so that we'll have kids, or that we'll have money, or we'll have rain, or we'll have whatever. And so basically the worship turned into a very lowly shema kind of endeavor, where people started worshiping the stars in order to get things. So really the first phase was very lishma, they wanted to praise God through God's creations. And then they got to the second phase where they wanted to start worshiping them in order to get goods and services from the universe. Okay? And then, finally, you get to the third level, and it says, Kevan shenigmal eitan ze. So now we get to the level where we finally arrive at Avraham living in Bavel. And so it says, now when Avraham was weaned, and so now there's a big machloket, was it he was 3 years old at the time, or 40 years old. In any case, it says, hitchel leshotet bedato. So he said, so now it says, he began to think on his own, v'hu katan v'yitchil lachshov b'yom uv'alayla v'hayat t'miyah he'ach efshar she'yeh ha'galgal hazeh noheg tamid v'lo yeh lo manhig u'mi yisovev oto ki I efshar she'yisovev et atzmo v'lo haya lo melamed v'lo modia davar. Okay, so now what he says is that Avraham observed the way the world works, the way the solar system works, and he saw how the sun was going around the world and how the moon was going around the world. Now, according to the Rambam, he's explaining these galgalim, okay? Now, this is very, and he said it also in the first halacha, he talks about these galgalim, where there are these spheres that are going around the world, and embedded in each sphere are constellations and planets, okay? And so what the Rambam is explaining is basically Aristotelian physics or Aristotelian astronomy. Okay? Okay. So now, wait. Okay, so now we get to a very important point. In order to understand where the shiur is going, we need to take a little step back and talk about the history of astronomy. Okay? And it's very important to understand this history of astronomy in order to understand the whole context of Avraham and the Rambam, and then, as we will see, also the Gemara. Okay, so now if you look at this little timeline that I built up, I got it's kind of from a syllabus from this professor in University of Oregon and also in several other places. But in any case, you see here in around 1600 BCE, so the Babylonians were the first people to start recording astronomical observations. Okay, and then after that, it was really only until the Greeks in 500 BCE. But they started constructing a cosmological framework. At that time, Pythagoras posited that the world was round. Of course, it wasn't accepted at that time, and they still believed the world was flat. In 330, Heraclides developed a solar system which was geocentric, right? Meaning that they believed that all the planets go around the Earth. Okay? And then that was picked up by Aristotle, who did believe that the earth was round. And this little picture that you see on the side is Aristotle's model of the world. Okay? At the center is the earth. And then you have these circles. These are the Galgalim that the Rambam is referring to. They're basically clear spheres. They're thick. And they hold the planets and the stars at their level. And so at each level, there's another planet or other constellations, and these things all spin around the Earth, okay? And so now what the Rambam was explaining...
He thought there's something physical keeping...
Yeah, holding them in. They're like, these planets were like embedded in this physical sphere that is spinning around the Earth, yes.
Whoa.
Okay? Yeah. Okay, so that...
The Earth was one big, like, hamster ball.
Well, the Earth... No, the Earth is the ball in the middle. Okay? And then there's layers of spheres, physical crystalline structures. Different people explain them in different ways, but yeah, they're solid.
Yeah.
Okay? All right, and so now these spheres spin around. Now you should understand that after this, okay, there were in 270, just to sort of like fill out the picture, even though we could stop here because this is where the Rambam ends, is that in 270 BCE, Aristarchus developed the heliocentric theory. So the heliocentric theory means that everything is going around the sun, okay? But that wasn't accepted. And then you get to Ptolemy. So Ptolemy is really the one who was credited with setting up the whole solar system, right? Ptolemy, right. So Ptolemy set up this, picked it up from Aristotle and set up this whole solar system where, as we say here, formulated complete description of the solar system. And all of this was to predict motions and to make the calendar and to figure out, you know, eclipses and all these other kinds of things, okay? Now, if you take a look at the timeline, we go from 200 CE to finally to the 1500s. So we're talking about from the beginning of the Greek culture, 500 BCE, until the 1500s Copernicus, the world was operating under the assumption, more or less, of the Greek idea which Aristotle and Ptolemy put forward, the geocentric theory of spheres, or like the Rambam says, Galgalim, going around the world. Okay, so the Rambam was really very much in understanding and in line with the science of his day, right? He lived in 1100, and so it wasn't for another 400 years that Copernicus came along and said, no, I'm readopting the heliocentric system that Aristarchus put forward, okay? And he then became a heretic. He was banned by the church because the church said the world was created for man, the earth is at the center, and also we have all kinds of problems like in the Torah or in the Tanakh. So it says Joshua prayed to God that the sun should stand still, right? But if the sun, why should he pray that the sun should stand still if we're going around the sun? So he should have prayed that the earth would stand still, right? But that's ridiculous, because even if we're going around the sun, we are man, we're on earth. And so, like, we don't say, well, tomorrow morning when the earth reveals the sun. No, we say tomorrow morning when the sun comes up, right? Sun isn't coming, anybody's up, and the sun isn't, anybody's going down, right? The earth is turning and revealing and hiding the sun. But we don't talk like that, right? Okay, so too, when Joshua would pray, he wants the sun to stand still because he needs more time to finish the war. Okay, so but for whatever reasons, the church didn't like this whole idea of the world not being, or the universe not being based on the earth, and so they banned Copernicus. But of course, as we know, Copernicus was 100% right. And then it took Kepler and Galileo to reveal the rest of the pictures of the puzzle, that the fact is that all the planets are not going around the sun in a circle, but they're going around in an ellipsis. The ancients also had a big problem with the circle versus the ellipsis, because if creation is perfect, so the circle is perfect and the ellipse is not perfect, and so that's not nice. As we know, that's not true, and it's perfectly fine that things go around in ellipsis. It doesn't change the perfection of creation. Okay, but in any case, so now what I really wanted to make the point about was that the Rambam is talking about these Galgalim, Okay? And the Rambam is explaining, according to the science of his day, that this is what Avraham understood. Basically, what he's saying is that Avraham looked out at creation and was awed at the design, that there's all these things going on around the world, and I'm not exactly sure if it's like the way the Babylonians looked at it, or if the Greeks looked at it, but there's something major going on here, and Avraham was awed by it and realized that there's a creator. Okay? And that's really what the Rambam is saying. Now, for the Rambam to be basing himself on Aristotelian science is not a problem for us, right? The Rambam himself says, he quotes Aristotle, as we'll see in a little bit. But what is a problem for some people is when the Gemara starts quoting science which has been proven wrong. Forget about Aristotle, it even is quoting Babylonian theory which was proved wrong by the Greeks. Okay? So now, what are we supposed to do with that? So now, if you turn over the page, that's what I would like to try to deal with on this second side of the source sheet. So, recently, this Rabbi Moshe Meiselman, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Moshe in Yerushalayim, he put out an 800-page book called Torah, Chazal, and Science. Okay, in it, he goes through all of these kinds of things, as you would imagine, and he makes a couple statements which are actually representative of a certain worldview. It says as follows, in natural science, Chazal's wisdom was superior to that of any researcher because it was derived from our divinely based tradition. It is the obligation of every Jew to accept everything Chazal have told us, regardless of the subject. Wait. Okay? So now, just wait. So now, the thing is like this. Okay, he is representing a certain worldview, and the fact of the matter is we believe that the Gemara, Divrei Chazal, the Midrashim, like I said, are full of divine wisdom. Okay, it is Torah Shebaal Peh. All right, so now what is being said here is taking it to its logical conclusion and saying that everything in the Gemara, all Divrei Chazal, are golden, divine wisdom, and anybody who says anything against it is wrong. Okay? So now, what are we supposed to do with that? Now, there are many, many statements. There are many, many statements in the Gemara that talk about scientific views of the world. Now, the most prominent, I would say, of all of them is this statement about how the solar system works. Okay? So let's see what the Gemara says about the solar system, and let's see how are we supposed to deal with it. Okay, did they know that the planets were all revolving around the sun and were not embedded in spheres? Let us see. Tanu Rabbanan, Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, the wise sages of Israel say, Galgal Kavua Umazalot Chozrin, there is a sphere, a galgal, a firmament that is fixed in place around us. Okay, and the stars, they move around in it. Okay? Chachmei umot ha'olam omrim, the wise people of the nations of the world say, galgal chozer umazalot kvuin. So the wise people of the world, which is basically the Greeks, believe that there is a sphere, and that the planets or the stars are fixed in them, like I explained before, and the galgal moves around. Okay? So that's the difference. You got the difference? The Jews believe that there's this galgal that's just fixed, and the stars are sort of buzzing along inside it. And the nations of the world believe that there's this galgal with the stars fixed in it, and the whole galgal, the whole sphere moves around. Okay? So now, basically, what they're putting forth here is the opinion of the Babylonian tradition, which is what Chachmei Yisrael are putting forth. And the Chachmei Umot HaOlam, of nations of the world, like I said, are putting forth the Greek idea. That's what we're talking about here. There is no third opinion being brought forth in the name of Copernicus who didn't live yet. Right? Okay, so there are these two opinions, which we know today are both wrong. Okay? But the wisdom of the day, of the Chachmei HaGoyim, was the Greek wisdom. Okay? And the Chachmei Yisrael are still arguing the wisdom of the Babylonians, which was the worldview at a certain time. Okay? Now, what do we do with this? Amar Rebbe. Okay, we're talking about Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, the president of the Sanhedrin. Tshuva l'divrehem. He's now going to defend Chachmei Yisrael. He says, I'm going to tell you why they're wrong. They're wrong. Me'olam lo matzinu agala b'darom v'akrav b'tzavon. Tzavon. He says, look, there's the constellation of this agala, and there's the constellation of the scorpion. And you never see them in different places, right? Now, if it was a sphere, everything was stuck in a sphere, he's saying, well, it was like a free-floating sphere. And so it could go, it doesn't just go around like this, it goes all over the place. So that would mean that if there was constellations stuck in them, you would see them in all kinds of different places at different times. But we know that the scorpion is always over here, and the agala is always over here, so it can't be like them. So, but what happens? Rav Acha bar Yaakov argues against Rebbe, and he defends Chochmei Ha'umot Ha'olam, and he says, V'dilma ke butzina derecha. He says, maybe there's an axle. And so the sphere isn't really free-floating, but it goes around the world very perfectly all the time. And so that's why the constellations always reappear where they reappear. Okay? So now what you learn from this argument is that there's a discussion going on. And they're both arguing whether it was the way of the world or the way of the Chachmei Yisrael, and they're not sure. Okay? So now, after that, there's another argument. If you go below the Rashi is basically, I just explained it in words. Chachmei Yisrael omrim, b'yom chama mehalechet lamata min harakia, u'b'layla lamala min harakia. So if you take a look at this picture I have next to this source, okay, what you have is you have this semicircle, okay, and you have the flat world underneath it, okay, and there's these little spaces on the ends, all right? What the Chachmei Yisrael believed was there was this galgal, there was this sphere, but it was opaque, okay? You can't see through it. It's just blue, all right? When the sun comes up, it comes up in the east, it drags itself around the inside of that sphere along the blue, okay? And then at twilight, so it goes down in the west, and it goes through the little window on the side here, and then it comes up along the back side of the semisphere. Now, you can't see it because the semisphere is opaque. It's dark blue, can't see the sun. So the sun makes its way over back to the east side, and lo and behold, in the morning, it pops through the window on the other side. Okay? Now this, by the way, is the explanation of Rabbeinu Tam's Bein Hashmashot. There's when it enters the window, and when it goes off to the, and it exits the window. All right? And so that's like the little time zone between you're not seeing the sun and it getting totally dark. Okay, it's going through the windows. All right. So now, this, as funny as it seems to us, because we are so wise, we get the opportunity to live in the 21st century. Okay, if we were living back then, we would also be saying this is the way the world works. Okay, so it's funny, but it's not so funny. I mean, it's right. Okay, it was a wisdom of the time. Now, what's going on here is that the Babylonians believed that the world worked like that. Right? That's how they thought the world worked. There's even opinions that the stars were actually holes in this opaque Galgal. And so when the sun was behind the opaque Galgal, so it shined through, and that's what the stars were. Right? There are no telescopes. Nobody has any idea what the heck is out there. Okay? They're just looking at it and trying to figure out. So one option is that it's holes in the ceiling. All right? Okay. So now, this is what the Chachmei Yisrael are arguing. They're arguing the opinion of the astronomers of Bavel. Now, what do the Chachmei Omot HaOlam say? So at the end of that line, where right next to where my little picture is, V'chachmei umot ha'olam omrim, b'yom chama me'alechet lemata min harakia, just like the sages say, it goes on the inside of this opaque sphere, the sun, okay? But then they say at night what happens, u'b'layla lemata min hakarka. At night it goes around the world. Okay? So now that's pretty advanced. That's basically Aristotle. That's basically Ptolemy. Okay?
Isn't the karkav like the soil?
No, it's saying it's the world.
Like the world isn't like this is the surface of the world and underneath it.
Right. Well, so no, they're saying it's under the world. They're not saying it goes into the world. Okay? They're saying it goes, well, maybe it could be, but the point is that they're saying it's exactly, they're arguing exactly the Aristotelian diagram that I've shown you here. Okay? The sun goes over the world and under the world. Okay? It goes around. So now, that is the science of the day. So now, what are we going to do? So look what Rebbe says. Amar Rebbe, v'nirin divrehen midvarenu. The words of the wise people of the nations appear to me to be correct over your opinion, sages of Israel. So hey, look at that. the president of the Sanhedrin is willing to say that the wise sages of the Gemara were wrong in this in their scientific estimation. So we have no problems. Where did Rav Meiselman come from telling us that we have to believe everything that they say? Well, he didn't make that up. So now if you take a look here at some sources I want to bring you. The first one is Shita Mekubetzet. Okay, Shita Mekubetzet was written by Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi. He lived in the 1500s, mainly in Yerushalayim. Okay, he says as follows. V'ken shamati mishmo shel Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam, just to remind you, lived in the 12th century in France. Zichrono livracha, shehaya omer ken al hada amrinan. Chachmei Yisrael omrim galgal. Kavua umazalot chozrin v'chachmei umot ha'olam omrim v'chule. So he quotes the Gemara that we just learned. V'amrinan hatam, and they say there, Amar Rebbe tshuva l'divrehen, and he quotes and he says that Rebbe gave them a tshuva and this whole thing. So now it says, how did Rebbe at the end say that you guys, you're the wisdom of the nation seems to appear to us to be correct over the wisdom of the Jews? So he says as follows, where it's underlined. Amar Rabbeinu Tam Zichrono Levracha de Afal Gav de Nitzchu Chachmei Umot Haolam LeChachmei Yisrael. Even though we see here that the sages of the world beat the sages of Israel, Hainu Nitzachon BeTa'anot Aval Haemet Hu KeChachmei Yisrael. He says that was a victory in argumentation, but not a victory over the truth. So he says that basically at that day, the people of the nations, they brought better arguments and they won the argument. Okay, but they didn't have the truth, and the truth still lies with Chachmei Yisrael. And so you see, Rav Meiselman has very much what to rely upon. We believe that everything that's written in the Gemara is 100% true, and if you don't, you are out.
I did not just
okay, wait. Right, okay, so, but that's not what the Shita Mekubetzet brings in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, it was just an argument. Okay, wait. It's going to get better. Okay, so now, if you look here, it says Maharam al-Shakar. Okay, Maharam al-Shakar lived in 1400 to 1500 in Spain, in Egypt, and Yerushalayim. The reason he lived in all these places was because he was kicked out of Spain. He lived through the Inquisition and through the expulsion from Spain. Okay? Now, he writes, very interestingly, he brings this whole issue, and he brings the issue of Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, Hevi shitat Rabbeinu Tam hayedua desfira le de yesh shtei shkiyot hachama. So now he quotes and he explains that Rabbeinu Tam believes that the sun sets twice. Like I told you, it sets once when it hits the window, and it sets again when it goes out the window on the other side, right? So he says, Harishona me'et shahashemesh nichneset me'en inyano v'hu tzricha lelechet kol ovi harakia. So he says that Rabbeinu Tam believes that the sun sets twice, once when it enters this sphere and once when it gets, you know, until it goes through the whole thickness of the sphere, until it gets to the other side. Those are two sunsets. Okay. So now he goes on and he says, V'eshkia shkniya, when it gets to the other side. And now it says like this, right? And he says, V'az hu zman bein ha-shmashot. Now where it's underlined, V'hakashe alav shiyadua hu u'muskal rishon shedvarim elu ein lehem shum mitziyut. But he says, I don't understand because there's no reality to this. Ela ledat Chachmei Yisrael b'Gemara kan. The only people who believed that were the sages of Israel in this specific Gemara. Aval ledat Chachmei Umot Haolam vaday de'ein ela shkia achat. But according to the nations of the world, there is no two sunsets. There's one sunset when the sun goes down. Okay, and so now he says ve'im ken kasheh. So now he says, if this is true, it's very difficult. Sha'arei Chachmei Yisrael chazru bahem. Because we read in the Gemara that the sages of Israel said, we're wrong. Right? Rebbe said, we're wrong. U'bitlu datam. And they said, we're wrong. And they nullified their opinion. Mipnei dat Chachmei umot ha'olam. In front of the opinion of the sages of the world. So he says, I don't understand how Rabbeinu Tam could even say this. Right? But we go back to the other side. So now if you take a look, the next source is Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, who lived from 1823 to 1900 in Lita and Lublin, okay, in Eastern Europe. And he says, V'tama al ma'aram al shakar. Now the Rav Tzadok Milublin says, How could Maharam al-Shakar say such a thing? All right? Now he's going to go and say that can't be that you could say such a thing against Rabbeinu Tam. Shehir Hiv Oz, that he went so strongly, Lomar Sherabbeinu Tam Shachach Masha Amruba Gemara Kan, that could it be that the Rabbeinu Tam didn't understand the Gemara? Shachmei Yisrael Hodul Hachmei Ulot Ha'olam, that they admitted to the sages of Israel admitted to the sages of the world? V'chalila, God forbid to say such a thing. Chalila lomar ken alma me'uram shel Yisrael. God forbid that you could say something like this about the sages of the Gemara, who are the light of the world. Ela dekvar katav b'shita mekubetzet, and he quotes the Shita mekubetzet, who explains the Rabbeinu Tam, that they won by arguments, but not by truth. Okay? So what I'm trying, we could go on. There's an article, it's an amazing article, if you guys can download it. This is written by Rabbi Natan Slifkin. It's called The Sun's Path at Night. Okay? And he goes through this whole argument. It's pages upon pages of people who big people, right? Gedolim, that said the sages of Israel were right. Gedolim would say the sages of Israel were wrong. Go back and forth. How could they say it? What could they say? How could it be? Okay? I would like to end with two sources on this issue. The first one is the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim. Okay, the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim here. So he explains that there was an opinion that when the planets move through space, okay, they move through these galgalim, so they make an incredible noise, right? Like when anything rushes through, so you hear this massive noise. Okay, but then he explains that Aristotle did not believe that. There was no noise. So he says, but Chachmei Yisrael believed that there was noise. Aristotle says not a noise. So now, what does the Rambam say about this? So if you take a look here, it says we count from
back to Rabbi Tzadok for a second. What was he saying?
Which part?
Rabbi Tzadok, like what he was trying to say.
He said. He basically attacked the Maharam al Shakar. He attacked the Maharam al Shakar, okay. And he said that you can't say that against Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam had a very good reason to say what he was saying, and so he was still defending the position that.
He didn't give the reason that
Rabbeinu Tam. No, I didn't read it. He did. He just quoted the Shita Mekubetzet, which was the first source that we read.
Right.
Okay. So now, if you look in the Moreh Nevuchim here, if you count down 1, 2, 3, 4 lines in the middle, it says Velo Tarchik Heyot Dat Aristo Cholek Al Dat Hachamim Bazeh. And so now he says, listen, you don't have to be so worried that Aristotle does not agree with the sages of Israel. Kizeh Hadat Rotzeh Lamar Heyot Lahem Kolot Omnam Hu Nimshach Achar Hamanat Galgal Kavua Umazalat Chozrim. So what he says is that the Hachamim are still operating under the assumption that there are this fixed rakia and the stars are like moving against it, and so they make this noise. But Aristotle believed that they were embedded in the sphere and the whole sphere moved, and so it didn't make any noise. Okay? So now he goes on and he says, Ukvar, this is third line up from the bottom, Ukvar yadata Hachra'atam, dat umot ha'olam al datam be'inyanei hatchuna ha'ela. So he says, now we already know that we had this argument about astronomy, which he's talking about what we just read in the Gemara, okay? And that the position of the nations of the world was found to beat the position of the sages of Israel. And now he uses different words, very strong words, as opposed to Rebbe, who said, Nirin dvirehem midvarenu, that the words of the nations of the world seem to be correct over ours. He says, V'hu omram befeirush v'nitzchu Chachmei umot ha'olam chachmei Yisrael, that the sages of the world beat, they were victorious over the sages of Israel. He has no problem to say that. V'ze emet, and this is the truth. Ki ha'inyanim ha'iyuniim omnam devar bahem omnam diber bahem kol mi shediber kafi shehevi alav ha'iyun v'leze ya'amen ma shehit amit mofto. So what he says here is that in all these kind of things where you need to investigate and you need to study and you need to research, you need to bring your proofs and derive the truth from it. And there is no, these are the words of the sages of the world, and these are the words of the sages of Israel, and we believe them because they were divinely inspired. No. No. You, in terms of science, you need to investigate, and you need to come to your truth according to the proofs that you can bring.
Our individual truth?
Well, okay, in science you're going to be on your own, but yeah, like I'm saying, like in a university, in a faculty that you would come, I mean, he's saying that everybody or every generation or every, you know, the wise people who are spending their time and energies to investigate a certain subject, if they can bring proofs to bring us the truth, so then we go by that truth. And so that's why he has no problem to go by Aristotle as opposed to Chachmei Yisrael in this aspect, in terms of science. And this is what is really the most important thing, and Rav Hirsch makes it very clear. Look what he says. Just a sec. In my opinion, the first principle that every student of Chazal's statements must keep before his eyes is the following. Chazal were the sages of God's law. They did not especially master the natural sciences, geometry, astronomy, or medicine, except insofar as they needed them for knowing, observing, and fulfilling the Torah. We do not find that this knowledge was transmitted to them from Sinai. Chazal themselves considered the wisdom of Gentile scholars equal to their own in natural sciences. To determine who was right in areas where the Gentile sages disagreed with their own knowledge, they did not rely on their tradition but on reason. Moreover, they even respected the opinion of Gentile scholars, admitting when the opinion of the latter seemed more correct than their own, and he brings our Gemara on the solar system. Okay? This is critical. I want to say something right now, which is my personal belief about Kavod Chachmei Yisrael. I defend Kavod Chachmei Yisrael to the end. They were incredibly wise. They taught us philosophy. They taught us morality. They taught us religion. And their words are still to this day guiding our very lives. That's amazing. Okay? But when you say that you also have to believe their science, all right, you are belittling these beings, these people, that they never even said that, right? They argued about the science of their day. Was it like the Greeks? Was it like the Babylonians? They didn't even say, you know, well, we think it's like this because God told us. God didn't tell them, otherwise he would have told them, like Copernicus saw, that everything's going around the sun in ellipses, not around the earth in circles, and certainly not a fixed rakia, a wheel or a sphere that's opaque. They never said that. They never said that. What they were trying to do was bring in where was needed the science of their day. And we can accept that, just like we accept that the Rambam was an incredibly great thinker. He was basing himself on Aristotle, which we also know is not true today. Right? And the Rambam himself says, learn science. Go out and figure out the world, and when you reach that truth, so that's the truth. But when you are learning Torah, when you are learning ethics, when you are learning philosophy, so now you learn that from our sources, okay? And that's really what this message is about. And just to end, if you go back to this, how we began, with why did God choose Abraham? God chose Abraham not because he was an astronomer. God chose Abraham because he was able to look at creation and be awed by it. And he was able to look at creation and say, there is a design here, there must be a designer. This is exactly what the Rambam says on this last page, on the third page. He says there's a mitzvah for every person to love and fear God. But then he says, how are you supposed to do that? He says, just like Abraham did. You go out and you look at the world and you are amazed at creation. And that amazement should bring you to the love of God. And then when you realize how little you are and how insignificant you are in this whole huge creation, that should bring you to the awe of God. And so really, it's exactly how Abraham came to find God. That is the paradigm for how we are supposed to come and find God. Thank you very much. Let me just turn this off and I'll answer.